Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Greetings, adventurers.
What an intro.
Welcome to a D&D's the Nerds channel update.
I'm going to talk like a grand old wizard. Not the grand wizard.
It's okay, you put all...
From the top, one more time. Greetings, adventurers, and welcome to a D&D's for Nerds channel update. Possibly the first ever...
I'm not sure. No, surely not.
Who knows?
I feel like there's 100% been like a 10-minute...
Not even,
a two-minute being like,
A two-minute thing where I'm like, what's going on? Oh, no, God.
I'm sorry.
Quickly run to the studio. Pull out a dressing gown. Hit record.
This is what's going to happen. But no, we thought that it was a high time that we let you know about what the future of D&D is for Nerds is going to look like, at least into the next year, to just keep you abreast of everything that's happening on our end so that everybody's freaking across
it. That's something we should be doing more often.
Here's the trick.
We do put little stuff at the beginning and end of episodes to let people know what's going on. But we still do get a lot of people messaging being all the time. Is that the last
I gotta say D&D is for Nerds fans. I love you to death, but sometimes it seems like you don't listen to the podcast. But this is not an airing of the grievances.
No.
This is not an airing of grievances.
You
begin a podcast, you hear ads, and you just hit
the problem is here.
You hit jump 15 seconds.
Well, we might put some stuff at the start or the end. The skip button's really easy.
Yeah, it's right there, dude.
Also, another problem as well with when it comes to, like, I guess where we're hosting everything, at least the public feed, it's like you can put like a programmatic like add-in that like we can do, which puts it into like every single episode.
If you download it,
which is great. But if you're like me and forget, you might get the same thing. Promoting, say, like a live show that was a year ago.
And if that happens, you're like, well, I know they're going to mess this up. I'm going to skip it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Forget it.
So maybe this is a better way to do things.
Can't avoid us now. You hit the skip button, you're just going to get more announcements.
Exactly. If you don't listen to this episode, it's absolutely on you for being confused in the future. But basically, first of all, we wanted to say, obviously, I hope you really enjoyed Return to Grace. I think that was a great fun campaign. Handsome Tom and Cass and you, Adam, did wonderfully. Me too, I was there as well. Yeah. But I didn't want to compliment myself.
You can give yourself a little.
Thank you so much. Let me give
you the accolades. You were amazing.
Who only edited and wasn't in it, let me give you all flowers.
Oh, thank you very much.
Whoa, you actually have flowers. That's crazy.
He literally bought in a flower each.
Everyone loves a bouquet.
So the next campaign that we are going to be releasing on the D&D is for Nerds feed, it will be familiar to some. So we have basically as part of our Kickstarter campaign to launch our Jaren's Outpost board game, we've gone back to the initial Jaren's Outpost Rumble and Jaren's Outpost Hustle, and we have remastered that campaign for you to listen to with sound effects, with music, with improved audio as well, because we recorded that one so long ago that audio was not perfect. I was on much older mics.
I don't know if you remember this, but when we were recording it, it was during a heat wave.
Yes, that's right.
And I put in a fan, like an oscillating fan.
I remember this. That's the studio, so funny.
Which was great because... Initially, it was fine. It's not being picked up and whatever. But of course, you know, I was paying attention when it wasn't pointing at the mic. But an oscillating fan oscillates.
Yeah. And like, did that make it?
You record like 5 seconds while the fan isn't pointed at the mic.
See, it's good now. Whatever.
I can't see how anything.
It's so hot.
We wouldn't be able to record it.
That would have been in our old place down in
the spare room.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say the spare room. I was almost going to say like the street name, but like we don't live there. Who cares? No, it was in Delaware.
Yeah. In Delaware. Yeah.
2/10 Delaware Street.
Yeah. That's. I was thinking the other day. The first
reservoir.
The first Fall from Graces were recorded there too.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, no. Yeah. It's because I remember doing them because they, as so many things here at the Indies for Nerds are, were like, oh, hey, this would be a neat idea. Yeah. Or we'll do this between campaigns. But yeah, that happened. Absolutely at the Delaware studio, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So with the oscillating fan as well, I just want to ask, because often if you have like a noise in the background, if it's consistent, you can EQ it out.
Yeah.
But because it would have been like,
So it's on again, off again.
So what you have to do is you have to isolate that little bit of there, and then you basically have to EQ it out for the whole thing. So I think it was on HT's mic as well. So it was kind of like, you know, his mic only. But then because his mic sounds weird, you're going to then do it to every single one. Like, as in, like, do a master thing and EQ it. Hey, it was a fun thing.
That's so funny.
Anyway, yes, it's Sean Allen is the editor.
Yes.
Maybe familiar with his work on the first Longhouse.
Yes, Longhouse 63. Mm. He did work on, which a lot of people really love, which I always appreciate. But yeah, it's a very similar thing that he's done for Jaren's Outpost. I've listened through to it. It's incredible. So much just wonderful, like, work. Little touches you wouldn't even expect. And it is slightly abridged because
there's so much faff.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much faff that's in those games.
Let me tell you,
you've lost no content.
I know we're not supposed to swear in the channel updates.
That is one of the rules.
This isn't our wonderful sister show, Thumb Cramps. This is not safe for schools.
Going into this, Joel was like, if you swear, I'll fucking fire you.
I'll fucking fire you. You piece of shit. I will slash your own goddamn... Slish your throat, whatever.
I'll slish your
goddamn throat.
I'll slish it, then I'll slash it.
Slash, I was taking a bath. Your throat, dude. Anyway, so it's a bridge. Mm. So it's about 14 episodes.
Yeah, it's 14 episodes. Because initially, when we did it, because again, the channel when we were doing everything, we used to do things in like half an hour chunks.
Yes,
like 30 minute episodes, and then we sort of moved out to like an hour episodes. Mm. Then we sort of backtracked a little bit to 50 to 45 minutes, and still trying to find that kind of.
I love
kind
of because
sweet
of
spot.
That season one of Jaren's Outpost is like 15. Yes. Like 20 episodes, and season two is 8.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's another one of the reasons why it's kind of like, oh, it's really frustrating that we have these like half an hour episodes, and we have an hour episodes afterwards.
Absolutely.
And so part of it was trying to have like at least a semblance of it all the same length and consistency as well.
Absolutely. And because it of that like abridged nature, all of those like emotional moments and like the exciting action, like it just hits, like the pacing of it rocks on a re-listen. And like it really,
I think it's very, it sounds great. Yeah. The new edit, the new abridged version is really, really good. But I think it's very telling of me as a DM that when I listen, I listened through it and I was like, what did they cut out? I genuinely could not remember.
No, absolutely. But that's what it feels like. Yeah. Like I was because I was listening through to it to give because obviously
if your favorite moment doesn't appear,
whatever.
I'm so sorry, but I genuinely don't remember.
Yeah, me neither. But I listened back through it, one, because I just wanted to hear it, but also because initially it was way more episodes, that meant that some episodes had to be retitled, basically.
Yeah.
Because the title wouldn't make sense anymore. I was exactly the same. I was like, what is missing from this? Like, this is what I remember Jaren's Outpost sounding like.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you got to remember, it's like, well, we do it initially.
Yeah,
when we're recording
exactly.
It, there's so much faff there, right? And, you know, as we're doing everything. And then it's like, okay, cool. And I take it away and I edit it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so it's like, you may or may not listen to it then.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you do, that's like, you might listen to that. And it's like, oh yeah, cool, that's that. And then what, 10 years go by?
Yes, exactly.
Something ridiculous.
We were actually kind of talking about this on one of the shows that you can gain access to if you're an Imaginaut, if you sign up for the Imagination Adventures at sanspenceradio.com. But on House Rules, a show me and Adam do, we were talking about Adam finishes a campaign. And then he just puts it out of the world. He doesn't know what's going to happen to it afterward.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I take, because I do a first pass edit. I edit it, and then I put it out into the world.
And then I snap it up with a thank you, and then I edit it further, and then I put it in the world, and then you guys listen to it.
And then you listen to it. That's the pipeline.
But Tammy, you get the final pass.
You get the
final listen on what did and didn't happen.
I sometimes
am like, I wonder if this will happen.
I wonder where this joke will go.
You know,
some
fight with Boris will happen or something like that, and I'll be like, does Boris, do people know Boris talks? That get cut out?
Yeah. I think they do. It's part of that wishes, or like I could, like, you know, someone that, you know, and then I give it to someone else who has, isn't involved in the campaign at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe actively hates D&D.
Now so that's a good idea.
So they're like, I hate all this bullshit. Yeah. Cut all this nonsense out. That was pointless.
And you just don't think about it. But then one day you check the D&D's for Nerds feed and there's nothing's been uploaded in 2 years.
Sometimes I find out as well that something always gets cut out, and it, I think it has affected, like, for example, I found out, I don't want to say recently, it was a little while ago, I found out that anytime I say numbers, essentially, that gets cut.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
And I feel like I, as a result, I don't say no numbers, because sometimes I just need to say it to myself.
Yeah, say it out loud.
But numbers have just stopped coming up.
Yes, absolutely. I've kind of noticed that, absolutely. Good. Yeah. Because it just, and you know, that's part of, like, this remaster, is that those sections, because I don't think we were that judicious back in the day. So those sections where it might be like, okay, 15 damage, blah, 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 has been kind of removed. Yeah. So it's just like, you hit, they've taken some damage. Like, you know, it's very punchy. It's very exciting. I hope you all enjoy it. I think it sounds incredible. It's awesome. It's so awesome.
Of course, if you do like that, remember to sign up for the Jared's Outpost board game.
Yes, absolutely.
On the Kickstarter. I think we're trying to aim for, I think it's like a thousand
people to be following.
Yep.
There's currently about 600 and change, I think, at the moment. So, you know, we're getting close, but we'd love you to be part of that. That just means basically that you're following it so that when it does launch, which should hopefully be soon.
Yeah, so that's the goal is, because we're talking to, or we've, you know, hired people who have, like, done Kickstarters before, because we've never done one.
Yes, this is our first Kickstarter, aren't we?
And so they're like, yep, cool. Once you get that sort of 1,000 followers, then it's like, sweet. What we're going to do is, once we get that number, then we'll be launching within the month.
Absolutely.
And so at the moment, in terms of, like, where that board game is at, everything is pretty much done.
We're
sort of just, like, going through it all, like, those really fine tuning, making sure everything's aligned. It's that kind of, like, making, like, you know, is it off by point something of a mil on this particular
piece of board, $1 million.
No, part of this is a million. There's not a million anything going on.
So it's like, you know, like, looking at things, making sure they're all aligned, and so we're sort of going through that and getting, like, the, you know, another prototype getting printed.
Absolutely.
So we can kind of really look at all that and make sure it's all, like, sweet and ready to go. So look, we're not one of them Kickstarters where it's just an idea and a dream.
This ain't your daddy's Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter, that's a scam, and we're not going to just take your money. We have it. It's done.
We're not scamming you.
I understand that saying it's not a scam makes it sound like a scam. But let me tell you, it's not a scam.
We're not like other Kickstarters we put out.
Yeah. We do. But yeah, it is.
It's completed. It's a completed, functional, extremely fun game. Which
it
again
is truly sounding more and more like
it really
is,
you gotta be on our side.
I think the trick is
I don't want any more sass from the peanut gallery.
I think the trick is to stop saying that we've finished, that it's definitely done. Just move on.
Fair enough. As you've said, like, we've played it with we've played a variation of it on tabletop simulator. Should be another updated version of that hopefully sometime soon, with, like, sort of the new artwork and all that kind of stuff. Well, not, I say new artwork, but basically the new layout. Again, redesigning everything. You're like, oh, I really like this, like, cityscape design, and then you're like, but it's taken up so much room. I guess I'll cut it. That hurt. So that'll be on the tabletop scene, so we can play around that. But, like, it's been really
for updates. You should follow the Kickstarter, but also you can follow on Instagram.
Yes, that's true.
Did you mention that already? No,
I did
not. Oh my god.
Yeah.
To repeat you and then be mocked. Truly, the
Adam, the we said you could follow us Instagram. What went through my, like, brain was like, we have an Instagram.
Yeah, I remember.
What's it called? Is it Jaren's Outpost?
It's not posted for a little while, but I assume, you know, we'll dust it off.
By the by, I guess the reason why we're doing this, heaps good is, I have a baby now.
Congratulations,
A child. He's just over. What day is it?
Half of your brain goes
it's
to
Monday,
the baby.
My friend.
So he's like a month and change now. Month and a half. God, I'm so tired, and it's not even, it's like 4 p.m. We had a kid.
You can be tired at any time if you haven't had enough sleep.
That's true.
I've had a baby, and I say my wife had the baby. Yeah. I was there supporting.
You were around.
And yeah, again, it's one of those things when you're doing something like this, which is a public facing show, and you're, you know, a pub. Yeah, I was trying to say a public figure, but that feels wrong and bad.
You're like a guy people know.
A guy people know tangentially.
People know Joel Zammit.
You know, yeah. We're like Z grade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Z grade celebrities.
I'd venture so far as to say double Z.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, what happens after the Z? Does it just go like AA or does it go now?
Umlau. Like,
you know, I think AA is good. We don't want that.
No. Question mark? Sometimes when you are done with the alphabet, you get the punctuation.
Like bang,
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you know, and the thing is, like, you know, not many people are across everything that
we do. Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Which is also another problem of, like, you know, when where it is that we're posting to try and get people's attention.
Mm.
And so when it's like, for example, hey, this is the last episode of Return to Grace, people are like, I missed it.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Fair enough. And so these things that, like, you know, it's just been a kind of a problem, I guess, through many different media organizations that are trying to get that message out there of, like, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Hey, this is coming up, or hey, this is happening, or hey, we're doing a live show, or hey, we're, you know, this over here. So, like, yeah, not everybody's across it. But yeah, so we've had a child. Again, don't
the
know
royal
how many.
We.
Yeah, yeah.
The royal we.
I don't know
how many.
I want to use the royal we, but
I think so.
Yeah, he's a little prince, in my eyes.
We are disgusted.
I don't know if that's how you use the royal we still. Sorry?
Isn't the royal we like a royal
I? Think it means to refoil.
Like if the queen's... if the queen says, we are hungry, she's referring to herself.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't say that anymore, obviously. Okay. Yeah. she opens her mouth and it fills with dirt.
She's hungry for brains because she's come back to life as a zombie. Yes. Anyway, go on.
Yes. We would like some brains. Yeah. So again, it's like, you know, me and my partner had a lot of trouble conceiving.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people know about that, either tangentially or not. But it's just like, you know, it's been, yeah. I think that's kind of also why, like, you know, D&D's for Nerds in particular, because it is this kind of long arcing story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of different things and different campaigns and these things that happen sometimes in the middle of a campaign happen while we're middle of recording something.
Life just sort of
and life will just kind of, you know, really just punch in the bread basket,
pull the rug out from under.
Absolutely. And so there is those kind of like maybe these, and maybe we should have done some channel updates earlier on to kind of explain these kind of like big things or these why were things changed, why what happened here, etc. And it's kind of like, well, you know, like the Grey Hill camp.
Yes.
like the very first one, not the Further Adventures, but the Grey Hill with like me,
the
Cass.
One that's in the main feed. Yes. Yeah. Is the one that we get guests
yes.
for.
Yeah. So it was like me and Cass, and the reason why, like, Jack, you were having some issues.
Yeah,
like,
I was having some life stuff life was sort stuff. Of happening for me at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just can't be there for that.
And so I was like, cool, me and Cass just did that. And it was meant to have that kind of like that, like finish off that like kind of one season, as it were, like that. Like I think it was like I just turned into the spider.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's kind of like the thing with yourself. It kept kind of like, you know, it just kept happening. COVID kept happening.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
then like, you know, me and my partner had like, I don't want to say like the first of several miscarriages.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of like we had things in the bag, but then we had to take like, you know, time off. And then it was like we can't really get people back to do certain things. And we didn't want to continue like make a new story out
yes.
of nothing.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
kind of just kept, okay, well, why don't we just use these characters?
Yeah, we're already here. Let's just keep telling
and
this
that's
story.
Also why they're like, you know, it's 30 minutes. Mm. I'm like, well, that'll give us, you know, a little bit more time.
Yeah, for sure. We can buy ourselves,
down,
you know.
And it's just like, well, things didn't calm down. Yeah. COVID got worse and, well...
Absolutely.
So yeah, these things happen, and so it was like that's kind of why maybe it's crazy how much it's like the personal life will affect the creative life.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because you want to put up a little guard.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, I don't want everyone to know too much of stuff. Mm. So it's like everything's going fine, everything's normal.
This is how we intended things to go, but actually everything always, and especially here, you know, at Sans Pants Radio, on like a more macro level, like we do D&D's for Nerds. That's like one arm of the network,
yeah.
but then we also have Plumbing the Death Star, which is another arm of the network. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, listeners, dear listeners, life is a constant battle of balancing those two arms. Literally tomorrow, I had to cancel a World of Darkness thing to do a baseless speculation thing. Like that stuff, you know, tomorrow in our time. For your time, I don't know when you're
it's
listening.
Probably long happened.
Yeah, last
at
week.
This point.
Or unless you're listening to this in like 5 years from now. 5 years.
What's
ago.
The future look like, spaceman? But yeah, so like, you know, life gets in the way. So, I mean, hopefully, ideally, maybe we'll do more channel updates as time goes on. But yeah, partially you're right. This is also to just give you an idea of what the future's going to look like now that Johnny Baby has entered the fray.
Yeah.
Has entered the arena.
new foe has appeared.
Yes, and boy, does he love to scream.
We were listening to his beautiful dulcet tones not long ago.
He's doing something which is called like purple crying.
Oh boy.
Or what I like to call it is purple screaming. It's an acronym.
Okay.
What it stands for. It was fun to guess. When my wife told me about that, I was like, an acronym. And then I tried to do it. I, first off, did not know, clearly not how to spell purple.
How did you spell purple?
Oh, I was guessing so many wrong
things. This would be my guess. Please, relent. please, let, and then in brackets, me.
Jack,
and then I don't have anything for the E.
You're not guessing how he spelled purple. You're guessing what it stands
for. No, he's not wrong. Yeah, like, it's like, pretty close to what I was
wrong.
Doing. As in what I was guessing.
Oh, right, yes, yeah.
But it was...
Am I dumb? Did he not spell purple, though?
Did he?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, I think... Check the tapes. maybe none of us know how to spell purple.
I'm 99% sure I know how to... But now you've put doubt in my mind.
That'd be a great way for us to discover none of us know how to spell purple.
Or just read in general.
But it's... Yeah, they get like, purple face weirdly, like, wow. Because they're screaming.
I was about to say,
so
that
much.
Would be so stressful if my baby turned purple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like a very bright red, and it's like, they get to this thing where they're crying and they stop breathing.
Oh,
and so you've got to
glow
in their face to kind of like, hey, remember to breathe, idiot. Christ. But no, it's a peak of crying. Unexpected, because crying may start for no clear reason, which is lovely to hear. Yes, resist soothing, which is lovely.
Okay.
The pain-like face. Long lasting, which they can cry up to 5 hours at a time and in the evening. So it's maybe it cries late afternoon.
It's
or
crazy that it's not an acronym, but it's an acrostic.
Hey, that's can I say?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sorry that I have to be the one to say this,
yes,
okay. But every single letter, as you were going through, made me feel more and more like babies are stupid.
Babies are stupid.
They're not babies dumbest. Are stupid,
so
dude.
So dumb. Oh, my God. It needs you.
Yeah, but
Johnny Baby needs you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
God.
There's so much genuine contempt. God!
I would be so frustrated at Johnny Baby if I had to deal with purple crime.
And apparently we're not in the worst of it at the moment.
Yeah,
that's insane.
When we talked to like the midwife, and the midwife was like, okay, so they showed like a graph, like an exponentially like rising. It's like, you're here. And I'm like, where are we? And it's like down the bottom. I'm like, oh no. Oh,
Jesus
come
Christ.
On. But that,
you know, postpartum depression or whatever, I had postpartum contempt.
How dare you? Just, postpartum, like, shock. Like,
you're affronted. Come on, baby.
That's actually, it's a really cool thing, because, like, the whole purple crying was, it's only really been, I think it was, it's like, kind of coined it around 2007 to prevent.
Oh, wow.
It is to prevent shaken baby syndrome.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like this. Well, the thing is.
I could imagine shaken baby syndrome being part contempt.
Yeah, baby.
It was, it was so funny. Like, before Johnny Baby was born, maybe I've mentioned this before with you guys, but on one day before he was born, we spoke to two people independently, separately.
Yeah.
And, like, as they're chatting, they're like, oh, yeah, just. Word advice, don't shake the baby. just two, both independent of each other, they were like,
that's
don't
so
shake
funny.
The baby. And it's like, what? He's like, you're going to want to. And now having been in it, you're going to want
to. Yeah, I'm
that's
there.
So funny.
I'm 100% there.
You want to shake the baby to save
people
baby.
Would need to be telling me that while I'm shaking
I'd be
the baby.
I'm sending you texts.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just a quick reminder.
By the way,
don't shake the baby.
But yeah, so it's kind of like, look, your baby's going to be crying for maybe no apparent reason. All the things that you're going to do, your system's in place, like soothing it, it's going to be fine. But it's not going to work. And so, like, hey, there's a reason for this. It's just this.
Well, that's good. You're like, it's normal.
It's normal.
This is okay.
And it's very fun. Because we're working as a tandem. We're like, you know, okay, I've reached the end of my limit. You take the child. Cool.
Well, yeah. So
last night, like, four a.m. He starts screaming. Wife's trying to handle him, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna throw you against the wall." I'm like, "Hun, give me the baby." She's like, "No, give it now. Come on, tag team." And she got up and left, and I didn't see her for like half an hour, and I was like, "Where'd she go?"
I was about to say, "What did people do before this?" Shaking babies.
Yeah, it turns out, she just went outside to pump, and then a cat sat on her, and she's like, "Well, I guess I'm here." So I'm like, "Oh, I guess that's a nice way of soothing."
That's good. So yes, obviously you're pretty occupied with Johnny Baby, as you just heard. So after the Jaren's Outpost campaign, basically, for those who are wondering when the next season of Vampire Infested Barovia is coming, don't worry, you are going to get it. Yes. But whilst Johnny Baby is on the scene, it's probably going to be until things calm down baby-wise, it might be a little bit of a while, but we do have a bunch of campaigns that are going to happen in between when Zamet is more, you know, free to record.
Exactly.
After the Jaren's Outpost remastered campaign, we are going to be jumping back to Sir Grace. Me and Adam are currently in the middle of actually recording that as a kind of like just to sort of...
A reminder of what's happening, yeah, exactly. But also giving you some idea of what's going on in the wider with this specific story, the Sir Grace arc, if you will.
Mm.
The kind of answering some questions, expanding the universe, and explaining some things.
I think there's been this interesting thing with this whole campaign from way back at the end of Search for a Helm, where Sir Grace is clearly set up to be the sort of big bad, but it's extremely unclear of what his motivations or plans are.
Yeah.
So I think this game is a little bit of, obviously not revealing too much, but of sort of starting to give you some hints as to what's going on there.
Setting up some... I also am taking this opportunity to set some things up, things that I wanted to do both YouTube plus Handsome Tom and Cass, when everyone reunites for the big joint game together to defeat Sir Grace, some setting up some pins so that we can knock them down later.
Absolutely. So,
but an interesting cast of characters.
Yes,
that I'm excited
to show truly you. Is. There truly is. It's a very tense, weird game, which is it's a lot of fun. So you'll have that after that, and then hopefully, I mean, by that time, obviously, depending if not, we do have a bunch of other ideas and other campaigns we want to do.
Yeah. But, so like again, like Barovia. I think it's season 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's season 4.
Yes.
Yeah, we would have liked to have had that up and running of now. But I guess prior to you going to the UK, we had a couple of like COVID scares that were happening. I got really ill at some point for some reason.
I am just generally stupid.
I got like a cold or some viral infection for about a week, and then when you guys came back from the UK, I got just kicked with COVID so hard.
Yes, absolutely.
We just kind of ran out of time before
the baby.
And it's just kind of those things where it's like, best laid plans.
Right? Yes.
And so, because like with something like Barovia, because it is it's a longer campaign, you kind of need to really be paying attention. You kind of got to be present there. Like, you need to be, on as it were. It's been a very fun campaign, but it's also been a very, it's a very intense campaign.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It really is.
And because it is, long going, you kind of need to know sort of what is
you need to be able to remember
your own motivations, like,
which I'm excited to
after possibly 6 months. Yeah. To be what the hell was that? Because it's not just a matter of, hey, how many arrows does Pip Mandarin have? It's like, where emotionally...
What is my relationship with this? Where emotionally?
The Pip Mandarin, quote-unquote, redemption arc... Am I? You know what I mean? Yeah. To be able to pick up immediately where you left off. Like, that stuff's tricky.
I remember, I think it was like towards the end of like the last campaign, the last season. It was this kind of thing of like, oh yeah, hey, okay, cool. When we get back on, like maybe like, go really hard, like Hector, go really aggressive at this one character.
Yeah.
Because they've said this one thing. And like, okay, cool. I want to go hard at them and just kind of do that. And then before we hit, record, I was editing the previous session where you're just like, oh, wait, no, hang on.
Hang on.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Hang on.
Absolutely.
It's the other way around. Hang on a second.
Unless you're thinking about it constantly and getting a constant reminder. Mm. And again, this is the nature of the beast. Like, we're doing this, we're doing plumbing, we're doing baseless, we're doing beyond the map, like a bunch of stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of things to pay attention to and keep track of. And if life gets in the way too.
I remember as well, there was a conversation you and I, Joel, we were having where you were getting, as Hector, but I think also maybe as Joel, there was a character, she was getting a bit, not Esmeralda, Eileen.
Yeah.
Eileen?
Iona?
Iona, thank you. Oh my God.
We're talking the same character.
Oh my God, 6 months from now, I got it. Oh, is this the same?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we also had, I don't know if you remember this as well, and this is just like, again, we sat down, we had a day of recording, and then you were editing, and you were like, well, you know the stuff we did? The previous session, we did exactly the same stuff. We've actually repeated ourselves.
Yeah.
We're
stupid as shit.
Never mind. That whole day of recording in the bin. And that's just because, something you got to do every day, or at least
something
multiple times a week. And
it happens a million times in a regular D&D game, but you don't notice this stuff.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, something I've heard that, this is not my quote, but I think it's very true. I've heard it said, people tend to remember closed circles and forget open dead ends.
Yes.
Which kind of goes back to the remastering of Jaren's album.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you get someone who has, you know, with fresh ears having a listen to that, and they can listen to the whole thing and be like, oh, yeah, these threads, they kind of went nowhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that we can just nix them and, you know, you'll be none the wiser, which is kind of, done a great job.
Oh, an incredible job. You can't tell, things that were like,
this wasn't actually needed. Mm. And it was actually quite surprising. I wish I could have that numbers exactly in front of me, but like the amount of like, you know, minutes or like, he actually cut. I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Wow. And it just doesn't really seem like anything is missing.
Yeah. I got to tighten my stories.
So also by the by, there is also another Gnomesmas special.
Yes, that's true.
I'm so excited for this one.
2024. That's how you say the year.
2024.
2024 Gnomesmas special, which is going to come out on the Not Ognot feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
because it is not canon.
Yes,
you better hope it's not. Yeah, this was a real. They're always crazy, the Gnomesmas specials, but you got to understand how personal this one became. This one was insane. Yes. I fell off my chair multiple times.
Yes,
in shock.
That'll be starting on December 21st.
Yeah,
we'll be daily until then. The last episode will be, of course, airing on Christmas Day.
That's beautiful.
And a little present for you.
Yeah,
for all you, if you are an imagination
adventure subscriber. Yeah,
of course, we'll also have it available as a digital download on our website.
Just want to grab it
and help support
solo.
If all you ever listen to is this channel update. And Gnomesmas.
Because, you know, obviously we...
You know those people scanning podcasts for channel updates?
Yeah.
I'm a channel update guy.
I love a channel update. I don't know.
How mysterious if you had no context for any of this. Sorry, please.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yes, that's coming out, I think, this week. I don't know what date it is, sure. Or it's already out. I don't know.
But hey, sign up to Imagination Adventures or purchase it from the website. We appreciate, I mean, like, you know, that's what allows us to do all of this stuff, to give you this content, is when you buy those digital downloads or you sign up for all of the bonus content that we do. And there's so much good bonus content on there.
Exactly. And also,
got to get some freaking eyeballs on it. Yeah.
And also, like, when you sign up and do all this kind of guy and you're helping support us, you're actually helping feed my child.
Yeah, exactly. You don't let down Johnny Baby.
So come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't have a mouth to feed.
It was so real. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, guy.
Speaking of the Imagination Adventures, there's another Bobby Haver.
Yes, there's another Bobby Haver game for it's been completed, just needs to be edited. I think it's some of my best work personally as a DM. I think it was really good.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
It was an incredible little detective adventure.
A lot of great moments where I'm like, holy shit.
He's clever,
some freaking guys telling a freaking story. So that'll be out, you know, very early on in the new year. If you sign up, so I guess to sum up what's going to happen for the sort of foreseeable future for D&D is for Nerds, you are as soon as possible probably going to get the Jaren's Outpost remastered, which is a brand new, completely remastered version of Jaren's Outpost, Hustle and Rumble. Abridged with sound effects, music, improved audio. It's incredible. That's going to be next. After that, you'll be getting a Sir Grace game. I don't know if we have a title for it yet necessarily. We have maybe a working title, but we have nothing set in stone.
Yeah.
So you're going to be getting a Sir Grace game that's going to give you a little bit of background on what Sir Grace is doing, what he's up to, where the world is at. State of Grace will be coming after the Jaren's Outpost remaster. And then after that, possibly depending on where things are, we'll be getting back to Barovia.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, there will be a bunch of other related sort of Fairburn Point games that we have kind of in the works, sort of ready to go if we need them.
I guess for like long-term listeners of D&D is for Nerds, the Merchant of Great Birth 3 campaign,
the Altsotha Tales,
where it was just kind of like one central event that happened and then those sort of spinning different, like, you know, things that were related to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That is sort of like the idea if my time is
still...
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what I hear is the babies get real easy as they go.
Yeah, I know. Look, he's kind
of terrific.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh, that's what I hear.
Yeah. The wonderful like, ones.
Look, I'm not
terrific twos.
It's crazy. I'm
not thrilling
even
threes.
I'm not even thinking about one or two or three. Yeah. I am thinking he gets to 6 kilos because I'm like he's currently 5 point something whatever. Yeah. When he gets to 6 kilos, apparently they sleep better.
Whoa.
Okay. So their stomachs
are
better.
The heavier they get, the sleepier they are.
I'm sleepy all the time, and I'm more than 6 kilos.
My belly's real good.
Oh, but yeah. It's apparently, yeah, the 6 kilos, the stomach, it's a little bit bigger, which means he's like a little bit fuller for longer, which means he's not going to wake up as much at night, which means maybe we get to sleep.
That's exciting.
So I'm excited. So I'm like, fatten up, boy.
Just about to say.
Manja, manja.
Funny to imagine anytime you're feeding Johnny Baby to be like, eat.
Eat. Why are you so little, bro?
Become
what's
big baby.
With Johnny? He's so sickly. He's like, no. He's in like the, like, you know, the 90th percentile or whatever. He's so,
so
skin
skinny
and
baby.
Look at him. Yucky. Needs some fat on those cheeks.
I've always wanted a fat baby.
Johnny Baby need more lard. Lard for baby.
What you do is you get the breast milk and you mix it with, like, you know, some lard to really just fatten it.
You cut your
greasy,
breast milk
greasy
with lard.
Breast milk. That's fucking awesome. But yeah, so that's hopefully what the future of the D&D's for Nerds channel is going to look like.
And of course, the complete remastered Jaren's Outpost will also be available as a digital download to help. Support the making of this board game.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, if you go in the show notes, you'll find a link to the Kickstarter where you can follow us so that you'll be alerted when the Kickstarter launches. Mm-hmm. Again, we're looking for 1,000 people. That's not many. That's we could.
We're
do
already
it.
At like 600.
Yeah, 600 and change. You could do it.
Yeah,
you could do it after this channel update. You could make it happen.
You could do it right now. Pause. Critically return.
Yeah. Don't pause. Do it while you're listening.
Do it while you're listening.
Multitask.
Multitask.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them to do that. I'm scared. But I'm also scared the second they pause,
they'll get distracted.
Yeah, they'll get distracted.
They'll pause, they'll hear a dog outside and be like, I don't know if a dog.
We have done polls about this, and the average Sanspans radio listener is very easily distracted.
Yeah, I saw a thing, I think it was on Reddit, and it was like a POV, like, never get me to record your proposal.
Yeah.
And it was someone like recording their friend like proposal, and they hear something, and they look over, and the camera follows.
Oh,
and there's a fence, and behind that, there's like a little raccoon.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, little boy, what's going on? The raccoon's there, and I'm like, yeah, show me that raccoon. And they're like, oh no. And then they went back and they've already finished proposing.
Oh,
and I'm like,
imagine.
Well, listening done for going back. I wouldn't have.
Listening to Sanspans Radio is like taking -1 riddle in a day.
Yes.
But please do follow the Kickstarter. Like, it truly has been this massive labor of love from the three of us. You have no idea how many hours we've poured into making this a fun, even if you're not a fan of D&D's for Nerds, I'm not saying that you listening are.
And you're listening to the channel update.
You're just a channel
engaged.
Freak. But even people who don't know us, who have played the board game, have really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic. I'm extremely proud of it.
Yeah.
And I would love, I think you'll love it too.
Tell your friends about it as well.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Them to follow us.
Yeah, please follow us. Get us to that 1,000.
I don't have to necessarily.
The
following is something.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, it's been very interesting playing with people who, you know, we demoed it with some people, and they had never heard of us before, the podcast or anything, and they're playing it. And like a big fear of mine with this game is that it is like stratagems, like our word for just like a very complicated kind of like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, how am I?
The game is very complicated. We refer to it as stratagems.
Yeah. The kind of game that obviously we use the example as well of Scythe, a great board game, if you ever played it, and when you're initially reading about it, it's like, okay, so you can use a top row action, a bottom row action, both, or neither.
Yeah.
And when you read that without the context of the game, you're like, and what like, the hell is like, going
okay,
on?
Okay, it is alternate history, 19. Like, why is this
what
relevant?
Is happening right now. So,
there's always a big fear.
Mine too.
Because again, I like those complicated board games because it's like kind of how mine just kind of operates. And so when we were making this, it was this, you know, very complicated thing. And then we're sort of like paring it down, adding things, subtracting things, making things kind of like moving past. And the sort of very, very concerned and worried that it's like, oh, there's too much going on. But from like, you know, people that don't really know us that well at all, they never knew us before, sat down, played it, they're like, oh, actually, no, this is, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the amount of relief when you explain the rules to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, I get it. And you're like, really? Oh my God, thank God. And that they finish it and they're like, that was awesome. And they played it, you know, in interesting new ways as well. So, look, we're very proud of it. We'd love if you could follow. And then, hey, if you want to support us as well when it launches,
that'd be real
holy
nice.
Shit, that would rock.
Yeah.
Please do. Please don't just follow us. Don't follow us. And then when it finally launches, unfollow.
Because, there'll be a retail edition and a deluxe edition. We're hoping to kind of do some cool things and be like, all right, cool. So we're going to make some like Kickstarter exclusive items, NPCs, those kind of things.
For sure.
So that'll be hopefully a lot of fun for everybody involved and not at all stressful.
But we're all extremely proud of it. It's fantastic. Please give us a follow. Link in the show notes.
You also laughing at how many times he said yeah.
Hey, leave me a freaking peanut gallery over here.
Ah, swearing. He's not allowed to swear in a channel update.
He said freaking. That's not a swear. Peanut.
That counts.
No.
You said so at the beginning.
Freaking doesn't count.
I might have said, I don't know, man. My memory shot the shit.
You're swearing, using his baby swearing. Brain against me.
Swearing.
So yes, that's the channel update. But we did ask in our Discord, which you will gain access to the Plus Discord or the subscriber Discord if you become an Imagination Adventures subscriber. We did ask people if they had any questions for us regarding D&D is for Nerds. So we'll go through them now.
Sure.
If everyone's okay.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Al asks, do you think there's an audience for solo RPGs? Not as in one-on-one, like the Sir Grace series, but taking one of the games designed for journaling and having a single person narrate it.
I don't fully understand this.
I don't know what that is.
So I think there are some solo RPGs which are designed to play by yourself.
Right.
And
okay.
I think Al is asking, do you think there would
like
be
a choose your own adventure?
Yeah. Do you think there would be a market in doing that as
a D&D? Choose your own adventure novels are
they're huge.
I don't know how huge they are, but they exist. This is a genre. True.
No, absolutely.
I think it'd probably be the basis of a they would exist in a certain way, but how you produce it, like off the top of my head. I'm just thinking it would be a narrative show.
Yes.
So what you'd be doing is like, sure, you'd do it all. I don't know if you'd be reacting live or rolling everything live, but at least you'd be taking it as the basis. Maybe you'd be doing it like live, whatever, but then you'd be editing it and then you might want to do different like voices.
For the different characters.
Yeah. Characters. So like there's probably a market for it maybe because again, it depends
like
on
like an audiobook.
It's basically what you're doing is an audiobook and it's a very, very
with like random specific, chance added as a...
It's interesting. Yeah. It's something different. I like that.
I don't think we would ever do it necessarily because I think part of our strength relies on the interaction between the, you know, everybody here at Sans Pants. So it would be, I mean, it'd still probably be good if it was solo Zamet, solo Adam or whatever, but I think people would probably prefer it to be at least two people. But I think there's definitely a market. Old Diabet says, what's everyone's favorite character that somebody else has played? I.e. Jackson's favorite cast character, but not his favorite of his own.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I think my favorite character of yours, Jack, is either, like, I don't know why, but either, I was going to say, Sir Greatbirth or Hooch Lakalumba?
Hooch Lakalumba was incredible. I don't know if I could even do that voice anymore.
Because both just... especially Hooch. Yeah. Every time you spoke, I just couldn't concentrate on what you were saying. I was laughing too much because it was just the way you could just fuck up a sentence.
Yeah.
Was
how
incredible.
Did he even sound?
It's
Hooch Lakalumba. Was he like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
I can't be to the going outside of the in my house.
It was very of Mice of Men.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got a lot of time for Hooch.
A lot of time for like Hooch. I like your idiots.
Yes.
They're very fun.
I'm very good at, surprise, surprise. I'm very good at playing an idiot.
You know, Greg Pierce. Greg Pierce is great.
I love Greg Pierce. And tell you what, listening back to the Jaren's Outpost campaign, I was like, fuck, man, Greg Pierce. He gets it done.
Look, Greg Pierce was the kind of thing where it was like, usually it's like you're the idiot guy, whatever. But this, like, Greg Pierce is like, he's a bit of an idiot, but he, like, you know,
he's doing it.
Craft.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, you're putting your whole ass into, like, you know, getting shit done, but you're still a little stupid.
You're stupid, yeah.
Whereas, like, I don't know.
So great birth.
Yeah. Dumb as shit.
Great birth. Did he sound like this? I'm going to try to do all the old accents.
Great birth.
Yeah.
Mark Kukade, Sir Greatbirth, perhaps you've heard of me.
Yeah, I forget it was less fancy. It was like less of the rolling.
Perhaps you've heard of me.
Yeah, a bit deeper, maybe. Anyway.
I think that's pretty accurate. But, yeah.
Perhaps you've heard of me.
I've lost him. Oh, well.
I want to hear the real So Great Birth.
So those are like for yourself. I'm thinking HT. I'm like, I don't really heard him do pop.
Pop, Perry. Mm.
Of course, Perry. Duh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought to be clever.
What's he? He's Pop, Perry. He's done, what's his name in the...
Heracles Melville?
In the Beyond the Map, but also in the Cult and Worship.
Oh, he was great in Cult and
Worship. Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yearning de Los Angeles.
Yearning de Los Angeles. Yes. Like, Aha. Great character there, too.
Yeah, very good. I liked in that... Carney's character, Drifting Snowflake, I thought was very, very nice.
Loved his tail.
Yeah, loved his tail. Loved taking his tail from him. Spoilers.
Cass, Ged, it's the one in the Lonely Tower.
Oh, yes.
I just like that she forgot, at the very end, kind of forgot the last previous, days.
Yeah, she
that
forgot the adventure they had. Yeah, Fish.
And it was a good,
great name for a character,
yeah,
too.
It
Fish.
Is a good name.
Love that.
I used to know a person named Fish.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Christian name?
Legal Christian name, yeah. Huh. I saw her driver's license.
Fuck, that's awesome.
Huh. She worked as a camp counselor.
Fish.
Her parents really loved the band.
Oh, that's even funnier.
PH or F?
Yeah, PH, yeah.
Okay. Is it better to be named after the band Fish or just the animal?
I don't think either is good.
Yeah, really. I think I would prefer to the animal. Yeah. The fish, not the band Fish. Although it's like also calling your kid Bird.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's so strange.
Also good. I would be very much like, I don't know, here's my child, Fish Lizard.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, I am Mrs. Lizard.
Oh, I think my favorite
character. I am she.
One of my favorite characters of yours, Zamet, is Daryl. I can't remember his last name.
But I truly
love Daryl, and I love that. I love imagining. I don't know when we talked about it, but I love imagining Daryl, who, spoilers for Northern Bounty, became a werewolf at the end of the game.
Maybe we know that.
Maybe we don't know. But in the world where he did, I always loved the idea of him going to Barovia.
Yeah,
because he was such a comedic.
Wasn't that the original plan?
No,
as well?
No, I think it was just something we spitballed.
Unfortunately, that was spitball. Yeah, that was spitballed. Like for. A while later down the
post,
track. Like, I would say even post, like, Hecken.
I think so. I think that's such a funny, because Barovia is such a serious place, and Daryl would have just been like, oh, crap. Yeah.
Oh, no, what's going on?
Fuck,
come on. What are we doing?
I'm in real trouble.
I loved...
Werewolf in a singlet. Yeah. Awesome look.
I liked the... I think it was where we got all those different puppies.
Yeah.
And then
I'm
just there, just quietly whatever. And then... Adam asked something, and then I'm like, okay, I'm named them, and like, you've already named them, like, yeah, and like, let's list them all off.
That was
and
awesome.
At one point, we like have to fight like a big,
there's a
snow
two-headed
thing.
Snake creature,
and then it's just like, we'll give them one,
give them the puppies,
maybe
we'll
two.
Give them the
which
puppies.
Ones? Oh, god,
I think you had to give them all the puppies, save one. Yeah. I think
we gave them a lot of puppies,
kept at least, I want to say, four, like that. There's definitely a bunch that we like, he saved, it was very funny.
What was the name of your character in Husfirma Pride? Have I forgotten his name?
Edric.
I also love Edric and Hector. I think
Edric was good. I quite liked Edric.
You've
as
got
well.
Such a knack for it's a thing I cannot do for playing interesting good characters. I do not have that ability.
Yeah,
I can't find what makes a morally good or like a lawful good character interesting.
We're having a conversation currently because there's a series I'd like to do, a World of Darkness series for Beyond the Map, where it's because I have a recurring character, Tom has a recurring character, and I wanted to give you a recurring character. And my original plan for it was kind of like a Saturday morning kind of, you know, hero type character. Mm. And this, we had like the first conversation with it.
Yeah.
I immediately, you weren't like outright saying no, but immediately I was like, oh, Jackson does not want, Jackson just, does not want to do that.
It's not even that I don't want to. It's just that it's so hard for me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such an uphill battle for me to, I'm just really bad at it. Yeah. But I think you're amazing at it. I think I think about the awesome moral complexity of Hector, I'm like, fuck, man.
I think
that's good role
what
play.
What might help, Jack, if I may, is this kind of like, playing this kind of like, you know, with Edric and with Hector.
Yeah.
I always find it's kind of like, when is the point of giving up?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, because giving up is always that option, and they always want to take it. And they always just want to be like, I've had enough.
Yeah,
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I need to leave. And I don't. And then it's like, but if I leave, will that make things worse?
Mm, yeah.
And so that's what I really like.
Yeah, that
about
rocks.
Both of those characters. Yeah. And what I really love about like the Husband of Pride campaign was that notion. And I guess it either happened either accidentally or just one of those magical happenstances.
Yeah.
But the theme was just like, the more you tried to do your best, the more you made it worse.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that. And I love at the very end, he's just like, I actually, the best move for me is not to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that with Edric.
That's so
cool. It's that kind of thing, but like for a good character.
Yeah.
If it helps.
No, absolutely. I think that's very useful.
I quite like you, both of you and Joel Dusher. I don't know if I would necessarily classify these as different characters. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe Jack, for you, all of these are different characters because you portray them very differently. But you, Zamet, and Joel Dusher, you both play very, I feel like it's kind of you're playing the same seed of a character each time. Mm. Your characters in all of the Play/Ruin games always make me laugh.
Well, it's funny because even though my characters are different, I think they have the same seed every time.
Every single one of those characters for Play Ruin is Rich Casino.
Yeah,
no one else is called
Bag Elf.
Yeah, they're all Rich Casino. Saying,
bury me in a little boy funeral.
Give me a little boy funeral.
Each of them have like a little catchphrase that differentiates
them. Give me a little boy's funeral. That's so funny. I'm so funny.
Yeah, you three. I don't laugh harder at anything than I
fuck
laugh
Fuck Place Left Ruin is funny. Yeah, man.
Which we... Oh, wow, Johnny Baby. I mean, there's so many other things we got
to
do.
Well, the thing is, though, when it comes down with Johnny Baby, it's finding, like right now, like finding an hour and an hour and a half or whatever to actually record this, relatively easy. Mm. Finding a multiple day, several week campaign, which is kind of why it's like, look, Barovia, we don't want to do like, we'll do a day here. Oh, hey, don't worry. Oh, do a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then it's like a Place Left Ruin, we can, you know.
You can knock that out in 3 hours.
Because we ain't surviving.
Yeah.
So. You don't... Well, obviously, Adam...
What
you
about
don't...
this for a Play Slash Ruin lineup? Cass, Hayden, you.
Don't do that to me, dude.
Be I nice. Think you
no
enjoy.
Swearing.
No swearing. No swearing.
Fuck.
We have questions. That's right.
Yeah. Lewis Wood says, which character would you love to have spent more time playing if you could? And then additionally, what are the biggest challenges as a DM to running a huge interconnected story across multiple campaigns? How do you adapt to events in one campaign, connecting to another and maintain a canon? I've always wanted to revisit Greg Piss.
Yeah.
I think Greg Piss's story isn't quite finished. I think theoretically you could do a million Greg Piss games because you just have to start him at like -5 and be like, get back to zero.
We have a theory for a heist game that might
a Greg
happen
Piss heist
sometime.
Game at some point in the future. That's definitely been, something we've
been
discussed
recorded.
For years.
We've got like, so many other things to do. It's not been recorded, but it's, you know, it's something we'd like
but
to
I
do.
But I definitely, I would, if I could pick any character, I mean, maybe it's the obvious option, but I would love to return to Greg Piss. Sure.
I think we had this idea at the end of, I think, Northern Bounty with like the Aral and Chet Faker.
Yeah, that's right.
Because like Chet Faker died. But it was like, love the idea of Chet Faker reincarnating as a kobold.
Yeah.
And just that scene of the Aral finding that out or whatever, somehow. Again, how do you find
it? Yeah, but just somehow he's clued
in. But like, you know, going into like a kobold like hovel, head kobold above everyone else and just being like, you know, Chet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I don't know why I'm a kobold.
Like Chet reincarnating with all this. Why am I like this? Where am I?
I'm coming to God on my boy. What they do to you?
And then Daryl,
I think that'd be
Chet,
very fun.
Chet is a tiny little couple who doesn't want to be a couple. That is good.
I like that idea. I've also had the idea of like doing another Merchant of Great Birth.
Oh yeah.
And I think I figured out, you know, I think we've discussed this off air of like how we could actually do that.
Yeah.
And I really like that idea because I really like again those characters at a certain point.
Yeah.
Maybe hard to do because one got killed by a bear and one got blown up.
This is true.
But I think I've, you know, all that comic book Marvel bullshit in my head has, prepped me for so much garbage.
You,
But I reckon I got like a way we could, you know, get them back
a
somehow.
A return to. I'd have to re-nail the accent.
Yeah.
So great birth. Yes. Am I close?
I think you've been
birth. I haven't heard in so long.
Sir Grape Birth.
There it is.
Sir Grape Birth.
There it is. You had it the entire time. You still have it. You've never lost it, dude.
But yeah, that's one I'd like to... I think that those two, I think, would be very funny to go back to. And I think, the doing like more Jaren's Outpost kind of like city kind of
game. We haven't really...
Again, I like the city urban game, and I think Jaren's Outpost is a really cool thing that we've already pretty established.
Sure,
as well as how... like, you know, what the hell is, like, you know, the first periwinkle? How is he going to govern that area?
Absolutely, for sure.
Does he know what's going on?
Yeah, he truly, it was unexpected that he became in charge of the city,
As for the second part, I don't know. I'll let you know how when I figure out how to maintain a cannon.
Fair enough. Captain Ko says, with the Helm crew, we've had a series of multiple stories following the same party members. Which other previous D&D's for Nerds character or parties would you want to tell a multi-chapter story about? A really interesting thing, just reading that right then, is that this is not the first time we've done this. If you recall, both Jaren's Outpost and Northern Bounty, not Northern Bounty, House Firm of Pride, were kind of the first version of this where two characters from one game went off and had their own their own game. So we've kind of done it in the past.
Yeah. Getting distracted by something.
I just have so much fucking dandruff all of a sudden. What the fuck? Sorry, go on.
It could be plaster from the ceiling.
Okay. Maybe it's plaster.
Oh, yeah,
drilled into the
and we're making holes in the ceiling. Well, I've not done any holes in the ceiling. There's one piece of destruction I'm not involved in.
I think of other characters we've sort of done.
Well, I mean, another thing that I think that we initially had plans to continue on more directly that we will at some point, but it's just kind of gone on the back burner, is like the gloom and all of that sort of.
There's a whole end of the world happening.
That particular plot line for D&D's for Nerds, which is still happening. But we.
What's his name? Shane?
Shane, yeah.
Shane, mate. Shane. Yeah, the Knight of Carcery I played.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck you, we're a Knight of Carcery.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember a different. I was trying to remember a different game. I didn't realize you were talking about Buried Beneath.
I was
trying to think if you played a character named that in a different game that we did about the gloom.
I believe
what a great
I
name unintentional. I didn't even really think name it after me.
It's
I didn't
good
even think
though.
The gloom is such a great.
It's
name
awesome. It's so spooky.
Again, when years ago, as it were, the idea of prologue to, I guess, anything we were doing with that, I would love to have like Shane going up to, like, I guess, I don't know how it works in your world, but, like, you know, the council of, like, you know, the Knights of Castries, whatever, and just like basically be like, so this is what's happened, and this is what happened, blah, 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 and just like laying it out, and it's like, so we need to act, and then just be like, well, you know, we don't either like don't believe you, or like, you know, there's like
talking
other
about
things
the gloom.
As well.
Well, he couldn't do that. He's been destroyed. Remember?
No, Shane's alive.
Shane's alive.
Oh, Shane. Yeah. Sorry.
Are you thinking of Anton de Saussure and
his
chicken?
No, I thought you were saying gloom himself.
Going up to, like, you know, the council of the Knights of Castrae or whatever that is, and then just being like, you know, hey, you know, we need to, you know, we need to act because this is going to be the thing. And it's like, you know, well, we've got other problems. Sorting out.
That's a pretty minor. And how long is it going to take, brother?
Brother, dude,
that can go on the back burner.
Brother, we're hearing about this Sir Grace character.
And like, we could be. We could even tie that in there.
They are happening
currently
at the same time.
Which I think would be a cool kind of, like, you know, that's the kind of setup to be like, you know, we need to be acting now. Why aren't we doing anything? Blah, blah, blah. Smash cut 1,000 years.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Hell yeah, that rocks.
You know, like the fall of the Elven Wilds, like, you know, those kind of things. Because I love those idea of like
sanding of the seas.
Yeah, like, you know, just doing
people
these
don't
kind
know
of.
What the, people don't really know. You guys know because we did the Pirates game together, but people don't really know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, c'est la vie.
It was talk of resurrecting.
There
it,
was
I
talks
remember.
Of resurrecting.
I'll believe it when I see it. Talk of resurrecting.
There is, again, getting back to, like, you know, hey, how much do you remember? How much do you lead in? Whatever. Yeah. Just like the idea of, like, because I think they're somewhere. I can find the files.
They exist. But you got to remember,
I wouldn't mind another crack at it. Every single time we do another crack, I feel like it gets a bit better. Barovia was better the third time.
It truly was.
There's like so much like good stuff in, like,
is
know,
better,
the
in their initial Pirates game.
I would hate to lose it.
But you got to remember, it's nearly 200 hours of content
that happened five, six million years ago at this point. I don't remember.
But, like, again, love to, you know, and maybe
a third,
like,
crack will be better than the second
you
one.
You
want
to help us do that? Subscribe to Imagination Adventures and buy our digital downloads. That's how you get the Pirates game. Okay,
you're like Joel. You're like, oh, we'll lose all of those cool moments. Joel, we'll make new ones.
We'll make new cool.
Make new memories. Okay. Okaba asks, over the last 8 years of doing D&D's for Nerds, how do you feel about the series as a whole? Anything change? Any changes over the years that you like? Anything you used to do that you would like to start doing again? Anything you didn't like about making the series that you now wish you never did? Anything you would like to do but having a hard time working into it? Basically, what are your thoughts on D&D's for Nerds as a whole?
Okay.
I would like to do everything one more time at least. Every single
from
season.
From the beginning.
Pretty much.
Fucking Criff Pom Pom
Criff. I think it gets a bit better every iteration. I genuinely do.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, fair enough. I think, I don't know. There was this like, push and pull at the start because I like those like interconnected things. Like, because if you listen back to like the Audacus,
yeah.
Like it starts with basically the camera following like Leo Criff and Griff,
Leo, that's right.
And then it kind of pans to someone else. And that's kind of like, you know, the absolute wank I love.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that was very early on, like, I think, you know, it's like, hey, Adam, why can't we pull this thread?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's like, oh, an offhanded thing mentioned in, like, I guess, season one. Mm. Why don't we follow those characters instead?
Mm.
I like that kind of stuff. But then, you know, Marvel movies kept happening. Yeah, yeah. Ant-Man popped up in, like, The Falcon or whatever, the vice versa.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Never mind.
And so, like, again, but that's coming from my, you know, comic book
background kind brain.
I still try to insert the Falcon into every season we do, and Zama keeps taking him out.
I don't know. I like that as a concept, but again, it's like, you know, how do you do that as an execution? And like, we sort of went away from that a bit more when it was like, you know, starting to kind of like not having things so directly connected, which I think is a lot better.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And so I think maybe doing that from the very start would have been nice to do that.
Yeah.
Probably not killing off a certain wonderfully annoying cat.
Yes. Became the mascot for the series despite appearing in two seasons.
One where he gets unceremoniously hucked into a well.
Killed by James Sunday movies.
I feel like chat about that cat has died down.
It has. People don't talk about Jiggle.
Sorry?
It's going to start up again now that we're here.
Yeah. True. It's the Streisland effect.
Streisland.
Yeah.
Welcome to Streisland.
Streisand.
Streisand.
Yeah.
Streisand.
And what?
Like Tarzan.
And what?
Oh, ha, ha. Peanut Gallery. Swearing.
Yeah.
Go on.
In terms of, like, I guess more recent stuff, I think there's probably a... Personally, the Grey Hill one we did in the main feed, look, it's a bit long in the tooth and it feels probably longer in the tooth because it is 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
But I honestly think there's a pretty decent cut there.
Yeah.
If you
you could probably get rid of that middle season and you'd
abridged
be fine.
Version.
Yeah. Yes. I think there's a really good abridged version there when we weren't just laying down the tracks in front of us.
I think that gets laid down at the feet of, speaking of laying things down, I think that gets laid down at the feet of Big T sometimes.
Yes.
I think it's quite unfair.
Yeah, I think Big T rocks.
I think I was the one who definitely could have tightened that up. There are long stretches.
If I had to speak as the person who did the first edit, if I had to speak to the problems, and I think it's still a great campaign, but I think it's just, it's one of those situations where you know, sometimes with the D&D is for Nerds campaign, often these days we go in with a plan, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we go in and we're like, let's just see what happens, basically. Yeah. And I think that was a weird hybrid of the two where you initially were doing a sort of, this is the plan, and then it became a see what happens, and then it... But it has a killer ending. You gotta admit.
I think the first season... Yes, you are. Like the first part of that, like, you know, like you can kind of cut into three parts, which I think we end up doing on, like, the feeds. But, like, the first part is really good, and the third part is really good. It's the middle season that kind of is a bit laggy.
Well, this is why I think a lot of it actually should be laid at my feed, because I think a lot of that second season drags out, because I decided that it's fun to just entertain my friends and give them nice things.
I mean, again,
and
was,
that is lovely,
it
but
was
it's
very
doesn't listen well.
Like, again, it was a very good thing. And again, it could be on, like, you know, the editors.
Absolutely.
Like, we could have, like, really started, like, you know, honing that in. But again, we were, like, laying down the tracks in front of us and trying to almost, like, you know, buy the time. But there's, like, that campaign, like, we started as goobers. Like, we wanted to make, like, dumb characters.
We wanted to do season one and two again.
Yeah, exactly.
From memory.
Yeah. And so I was like, let's just make some, like, you know, silly little goobers and whatever. And, like, you know, we go to camp. We go out of camp. We got some like, you know,
little funny adventures,
funny characters that are there. But then it's just like, you know, we sort of had to end up with, like, you know, at some point being like, this is a bit rudderless. So being on, like, because me as, like, the gluppel druid to be like, what if I went on, like, a spirit journey and tried to kind of have a bit more of, like, pathos there. I don't know how much
I've spoken about this on House Rules, but some characters. Yeah. You know,
he was a mayfly.
Yeah, some characters are mayflies. Some characters are designed for 8 episodes. Some are designed for 100. Some are designed for 30. And he was a character designed for 8 episodes who had to live the 30 episode lifestyle.
100%.
Yeah.
And like, there was one. I think there was like a gameplay decision that I really did not like that we did, which was this. Yeah, you, Adam.
Yeah. This guy. This guy.
I think Grey Hill was bad because me.
Yeah.
I do think
when
that.
I think it was like. I don't know if it was on camera or on mic or off mic, but it was like when we leveled up, you got each of us to make decisions for the other characters.
Yeah.
And like, that was bad. especially like, again, it's that kind of like, especially when it comes to sort of like the gameplay aspect, like I know a little bit more than Cass does.
Yeah.
And we got to a point where it was like, I was an idiot.
Beautifully messed you both up as Cass made bad decisions for you and you made good decisions for her that she couldn't capitalize on.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But like, it was when I was a spider boy.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, cool. I know when we level up, we're an audio medium. Sweet. I'll take, you know, if we can make it take the feet so I have telepathy, so at least I can, you know,
talk like, to Cass or whatever.
Not be a weird, just like as an audio medium. I tap the ground for yes. but then I think, yeah, I didn't either convey it before and then we were doing it and they just we missed the opportunity. I was like, ah.
Could have been a talking spider.
Yeah, man.
And so that was a very, very, very frustrating campaign in many different ways.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think like the ending kind of was...
Yeah, it brought it together.
Great
yeah.
ending. There were parts that I loved.
Absolutely.
Dealing with the gambling god.
Oh, the frog god. That was rocked, funny. Frog, dude.
Again, that whole first part
the
was
first
great.
Season's yeah. killer.
The second bit...
It's the frog god... It's the
frog god's like the climax of season one.
What?
Yeah. Like that's like, the first
that's
part.
That's way
to me
later
is,
in my head.
Mm. Is I really, really, like, really love that because that was the intentional ending.
Mm. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
In the frog god, and then we're going to go to the capital and deal with, you know, Sir Grace. That was going to be the, you know, intentional ending. But then COVID blew out.
Yeah,
we didn't want to start another campaign, and I was still dealing with life stuff, so I kind of couldn't come back. And it was like, well, okay, we'll do another season
because we haven't finished the ending. It's like we can keep going.
And then, but you start another season, you've started a new narrative arc, and
and it was just kind of like, but there's that golem chase that's actually really fun.
Yeah, the golem chase is awesome. Is that the one where Cass...
split up.
Cass does some insane shit where she like... she
Dude,
has
you
like,
gotta narrow that down.
Turns into a horse and carriage.
Yeah,
I
she turns into a horse and carriage, but like upside down
so
or
stupid.
Some shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would say for me personally, like how D&D is for Nerds has changed is in the beginning it was like, oh, let's just play. And like, I mean, I don't know how people feel about this kind of like gradual change to the show. But you know, in the beginning we were like, let's just play D&D and have fun. And then I think over time we were like, oh, we can tell really interesting stories with really interesting characters. And so I really like where D&D is for Nerds is now. I love a stupid campaign.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
And that's why I love, you know, being in the Further Adventures of the Greyhawk Free Company and being like 50 Chickens or the Corn Knight. But I get so much more out of being like Pip Mandarin or Sir Grace or something, you know, in the current form where we can really tell like an interesting fantasy story. That's so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Graham J asks, question for Adam, how much storyboarding do you do at the beginning of each of the current campaigns, considering how wide the story has gotten? Where do you want to take the story when this story arc is over, future or past? When will we get to hear more about the original Grey Hill cast?
I do no storyboarding because I can't draw. gotcha. Typically for the main feed, the way I do it is I will write act one, maybe act two of the story, but I won't have act three finished until I know kind of where things are going and what people are going to do. Mm-hmm. And I might not even start writing act two as well until session one is over.
Yeah, fair.
I'll have an idea of where I want things to go. Like, I'll know what I think I'm going to write about Act 2 or 3, but I just won't commit anything until I think it's similar on my end as it is to the player. I think that you don't find your character until you're a few sessions.
Oh, absolutely.
In.
Big 100%. Time. Big
and I don't
time.
Think I really know what I'm doing with the story until a few sessions.
Yeah.
In. Yeah. Which I think is also why, like, you have this idea of, like, I want to redo it.
Yeah, exactly. Because once you've like, gotten a bit into it, you're like, oh, I should have done that for this guy. I should have done that for this guy.
Maybe. I think I'm just better now than I was then.
Oh, absolutely. Big time. I think we've all improved.
We're all growing.
Were there any other parts of that? Did I answer every part of that?
Yeah,
question?
Pretty much.
All right, good.
After the Sir Grace arc has ended, where's next?
End the world. we've been threatening to do that for a while.
It's been on the cards for a long time.
I feel like the next part of that would be, and I think when the Sir Grace arc is done, I think we will probably, that's when the Pirates game will get. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I haven't written Act 3 on this yet.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, the Pirates game, though, is kind of, for me at least, the next step in the world-ending campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think the world-ending is what I'd like to do after we're finished with Grace.
I'm kind of, that kind of also makes sense. And especially like, as you know, just before mentioning, I was like, oh yeah, no, we could easily get tie in there with like what's happening with like the gloom. So Grace,
yeah,
and Black,
yeah, absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
But obviously, as always, who knows? You got to understand, listeners, how much of D&D is for Nerds has just been shaped by, oh, this big change has happened. Mm. Let's pivot in this direction. Yeah, I think we've spoken about it before, but the entire A Helm arc began because we needed something to put in between whatever the most recent campaign was and something else, and we were like,
"Oh no, because it's like, you know, we did that A Helm thing during like it was Great Birth 3.
Yes,
it was part of that little like, you know,
It was like,
we were trying to do like something similar to Sotha Tales.
And it's like, oh, then this is, and then it was like, oh, we want to redo because our first very brief attempt at Barovia wasn't, you know, we didn't love it, and we were like, well, I guess we could include.
Yeah, why not?
You know, like, why not? This character's just sitting there, and I'll make up a new character, and now, you know, however many years later, here we are. And this, I think, maybe the last question. So L asks, they say, question for Samit. We know that the world of Ognod is your brainchild, 100%. And Adam just likes to take credit.
This is true. Yep.
But how much development do you put in these days? And then they say, the serious version of this question is, how much of the world has been player-generated versus DM-created? Which I think is a really interesting question, because I think in the beginning, D&D is for Nerds was Adam would come to us with a game and then we'd play it. Yeah. And then I think we got more involved, probably to an annoying degree.
Probably.
Where we were like, Adam, run this game. Adam, run this game. But I see it these days as a very healthy balance, I think, anyway, where it's extremely collaborative between every player that's part of it. And I know, and I love that I can be like, you know, like, for example, in Vampire Infested Barovia with Keening, where I was like, hey, Adam, can he be my ex-boyfriend? And you're not like, it actually doesn't fit my plan for the game. You're like, I'll see what I can do. And then that I can just like, I can give that idea to you and I can trust you that you're going to do something interesting with it. And that vice versa, you can give something to me and Zamet a seed or an idea or whatever. And that I think it's very collaborative these days, which I personally love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think we butt heads as much as we used to in the first year or so.
When perhaps,
when it was just kind of like, all right, this. And like, these are the rules of D&D. These rules are stupid, Adam.
I think the example I always remember of this is one of the first ever like spin-off games that we ever did. Way back in the day, it's like predates, it's the one that Merchant of Great Birth came out of, but it I remember we had a guest, it was you two and a guest player, what is his name, Fonzie?
Farina.
I remember this person.
His nickname, so you're actually okay.
But in that one, at the end of it, you're fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
And I very distinctly remember it was just, the fight was just taking a little while because dragons are tough. And I remember you getting a bit frustrated, being like, this is not interesting. We're just wailing on each other. And me being like, that's the dragon's hit points, dude.
that's the name of the game. But I think these days, in a weird way, we found like it's not as though we've gone in one direction or the other. It's like that happy median between you being like, well, I'm going to use the rules of the game to make for an interesting encounter or whatever.
The Great Birth one's a really good example. Like, I think it was you trying to sheath a animated sword.
That's right.
It was very funny, and that's what your character would be doing. I want this sword. But because rules of the game is like, now this whole, everything now is in 6-second chunks.
Because
it's all in a round. Whereas I'm like, because that's the rules as written, as it were. Whereas I feel nowadays, if we were doing that, you might then pull something out of your ass being like, okay, you're trying to tame a sword. What can we'll
figure out
feasibly here, try and do? Animal handling, I guess, mixed with fucking your
but
knowledge.
But then it's also kind of funny that like maybe, at the, you know, because how difficult it was is kind of where some of the humor came from.
Well, for that specific.
But that's, exactly. So it's
Sometimes it's the joke of trying to sheath the sword, and sometimes it's the frustration of why won't this dragon die? Same game, I believe.
At least the same.
No, same characters, different games.
Same game.
I do not remember fighting the dragon. I think the one thing I remember about the most frustrating thing was, like, I think it was the Northern Bounty, the trying to get not Northern Bounty, sorry, Husband of Pride, trying to get, like, you know, the paladin elf, whatever.
Oh, yeah, searching
for them and, like, trying to get them to, like,
just
do
took,
a thing.
It took weeks,
and
basically.
And it was, like, all right, well, we go and try and do, like, a leaflet, like, you know, like, hey, we're going to be, you know, we want to fight you in the Macca's car park or whatever. And you're like, it takes 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? First off, no.
I have no idea what you're saying. What is this? I don't remember this at all.
So it was a part in Husfirm of Pride where we needed to do something and we wanted to do it immediately, but just by virtue of where stuff was and the distance between places.
It was trying to get the elf paladin out to have a fight.
Yeah.
It was an elf paladin or whatever.
Okay. But anyway, it took 2 weeks, which is just how long it would have taken in game. But it's always that tricky thing, I think, with D&D where it's like, it takes 2 weeks and you're like, well, I would have stopped.
Day two,
I would have stopped. And you're like, well, it already happened or whatever.
I don't really remember that. Yeah. I think, though, this change comes with from 3.5 to 5th edition, where I think you were saying it's kind of like a merging of rules and narrative, where I, from my perspective, actually, I think it's a complete letting go of rules. Because in 3.5, there's kind of rules for everything. In 5th ed, less so.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, like, narrative focus now comes from you. One of you will be like, I want to do this. And I'll be like, well, 5th ed doesn't really have rules for that. So whatever, let's just do something, I guess.
Yeah. For sure.
I'll just roll. And anytime you hear me talking about luck checks, it's because there's no role for this. I'm just, whatever.
Yeah.
There is a role for it, and it's just...
It's a yes or no, basically. Does it work or does it not?
Yeah, I guess, nowadays, you're like, I'm going to see for sure. Well, you've done this for 4 times in a row now. Yeah. Let's make this a luck check.
Exactly. Absolutely. But it's much more collaborative these days, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hopefully that answered your questions. And just once again, let me just give you that reminder, baby, about what's next for D&D is for Nerds. You are getting...
Do not hit the skip button.
Don't hit the skip button, you son of a bitch.
Listen to this.
You are going to get a remastered Jaren's Outpost next. After that, you will get a State of Grace, a Sir Grace campaign showing sort of the background of what's happening there. Then hopefully after that, Joel Zammit will be D-babied. Mm-hmm. Not D-babied. He won't have to deal
with that. What does that mean?
Jackson, no. I take it back. The baby will have calmed down and he'll be freer. And we can return to Barovia. But if not, we'll be doing more Fairburn Point campaigns or adventures surrounding Fairburn Point. The Jaren's Outpost campaign is partially to promote our Kickstarter for the Jaren's Outpost board game. Mm. So please, the link is in the show note. Jump on there. We need 1,000 people. We want 1,000 people following.
Yes.
So before we launch, we'd love if you could follow to find out, get all the updates and be notified when it does launch.
You can also head to, I think it's jarensoutpost.com. It's a website that we have.
Yes, I was going to say, type this into your web browser. We're going to make it as easy as possible for you to find this.
It's the website, jarensoutpost.com, and you can have a look there. There's some, like, previews of art. There's some character stuff there. There's a couple of, at least that one, I think it's called, like, the Ballad of Greg Pierce.
Yes.
A song that has been made for it. Because, again, this is the kind of stuff we want to kind of do with the Kickstarter. It's like, enough people sign up, enough people follow, enough people do this kind of things, we can kind of do some dumb shit. Like, hey, can we do a vinyl printing of, like, songs inspired by
Jaren's Outpost. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of things as well.
And so do you want an authentic pair of cement shoes that Greg Piss wore after the halfling families caught him.
Yeah, so like,
Fundership.
Is that a little epilogue? That's what happened to Greg Piss in the end. He drowned in the sea.
Jaren'sOutpost.com. There are some blog posts there about the making of the game, which I really should update and add more. They're sitting there in draft.
Will be updates.
There will 100% be updates, but there is also some stuff there you can watch, read.
That's the
eyes one.
The eye one, yes.
Oh, that's also watching.
Damn, swearing. I think that's, if you're intrigued by, like, how a board game or even just design changes, and one of the ones up there is, like, the evolution of the player board,
which
is, like, really fascinating.
Very crazy.
At least from my perspective.
Yeah.
Where it started and where it ended and why we made some of those changes. Go along there. There should also be a link to, like, the tabletop simulator if that's what you enjoy doing.
Get a sense of the game and see if it's the kind of thing that's up your alley. I think it frickin' will be. We also have the Gnomesmith special coming out if you subscribe to Imagination Adventures. Or you can get the digital download from our site.
It's a beautiful one this year. Yeah. Genuinely a beautiful
one. It's truly pretty magical.
Magical. Comes with a disclaimer.
Yes, it comes with an incredible disclaimer.
Comes with a disclaimer, not
for you.
Not for the listener. up for the players and the DM, kind of.
Well, I didn't need the disclaimer. Yeah, I just needed the disclaimer. It's a reminder for me.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really a beautiful, beautiful story.
Check that out for some Christmas cheer. Yeah. And also, you know, hey, thanks for listening for the last 8 years. Mm. Obviously, without you listening, we could never have done this and we would never be able to invest so much time in...
8 years?
I think probably more, man.
I think it's a decade, buddy.
That one guy in the Discord said 8, so that's where I got that from.
I think it's a decade.
We've certainly known each other for a decade, but have we been releasing
for... No, we've known each other for...
Well, me and you have known each other longer than...
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Adam. Obviously. Is that what you... I don't know what this guy's saying. Anyway, but I'm trying to do a sincere thank you, and the fucking peanut gallery is coming in here being like, well, actually, Jackson, 8 years? That's
Am
you
I
guys.
Statler or Waldorf, do you reckon?
I don't know.
Waldorf.
You're... Whoa. Kermit the Frog, dude.
Not even the hot one.
But yeah, about 10 years or 10 so.
Well, legitimately, this is a legitimate, sincere thank you for listening all these years and supporting us. Like, that's fucking amazing that you have invested your time and, you know, for those subscribing people who bought digital downloads and merch and come to live shows, your money, too. Like, that's incredible. And, yeah, I want to give a sincere thank you to everybody that's listened.
Like, genuinely, thank you. Like, you know, you go out, you know, you earn a living, you do your things, and then you're like, actually, these idiots, little knuckle fucks over here that are just, you know, doing little yucks over whatever.
Yeah, goofing around on each other.
There's a couple dollars there. Yeah,
exactly. You've got no idea how much we appreciate it. It just makes it all worth it. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammett.
I've been Adam Cannavale.
And this has been Channel Update.
Those are the sounds spells make.
Spells of bullets from now on.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.